See right there. And along the west side of the house, if we go on to another picture, there are what he called in the specification permanent awnings that look like they are part of the actual construction of the house, that they are rafters that are coming out just like in the front here, but they're actually just applied. And it was called out in the specification as permanent awnings. There's some on the side and there's some on the back that you'll be able to see as we go through the pictures. And the house is pretty much original. There was a second story deck at the back of the house that has been enclosed to become a fourth bedroom. There were no records of when that was done, so I'm thinking it was probably done without a permit, and I don't know the date. But that's the only change that has been made to the house as far as the structure goes. If we can go through some of the pictures of the outside, you can see there's some details of the porch. I'll talk a little bit about the Monterey style while we're looking at those. This house was built, like I said, by Hartwood during a time when he was building smaller and less expensive homes. And sorry, I'm just going to stay in the same order rather than try to flip through. Can we move on to some of the other That's the second floor addition. You can see right back. You saw it in the last one. This right here. That was an open deck. And at the time the house was built, I'm sure that from that second story deck you had a nice view of the ocean, which you no longer have. There we go. Okay. The interior, the first floor of the house includes an entry vestibule, living room, dining room, enclosed lanai, kitchen, laundry, storage, and a servant's bath. The original detailing throughout the interior is simple and elegant. It's a very subdued kind of house. And the original cabinetry and built-ins are in the entry that you can see right here to the, what is that? Your left? My left? I don't know. The next photo shows the dining room. And that's original cabinetry back there too. And even you kind of see how right here and right here. Oops.
Sorry.
That's okay. There's a glass shelves built into the windows, and that's original too. They were in the specifications called out as was the lights. So all of that is original, and I know that because although we didn't have original drawings for the house, we did have the original specifications, so we can tell what's original and what's not. One of the most interesting pieces of the house is the stairway, which should be the next picture, I think. The original stairway has, oh, no, there's a detail that's up there. The original stairway has curving walls and ceilings. That's those are original doors at the back of the room also. Yeah, those are original. They're not in the original location. There were only screen doors there when the house was built, and those glazed doors were actually between the living room and the lanai. But so they just moved them out when they closed the lanai. Okay, we can keep going. Here, we're coming to the stairs. So you can start to see some of the rounded elements, and I think. So you can see there's rounded details all through this house. So at the time, even though this is a Monterey style house, there's a lot of Art Deco influences on the interior, which is really interesting. There we go. So you can see how the walls of the stair are rounded, and there's rounded and arched niches, and the ceiling is actually a little rounded as well. And the upstairs hall, oh, and also, there's some Asian-inspired detailing underneath the stair railing. Go one more photo, please. There we go. So that's a very nice little detail too. And then the next photo will show you the rounded closet and bedroom walls with integral lots of storage. Anyway, that's the interior. A little bit of history about Diamond Head Terrace. The Diamond Head Terrace subdivision, which is right at the base of Diamond Head between the Gold Coast apartment buildings and Diamond Head itself, is that little bit of neighborhood that's right at the end of Kalakaua. It was developed in 1921 by the Henry Waterhouse Trust Company. It was 73 lots that went from beach lots up a portion of the slopes of the Diamond Head. 73 lots, like I said. But it actually sold very slowly. It was well into the 30s and they hadn't sold hardly any lots left, which I find amazing. But given its desirable location, but at that time, they felt like that was too far out of the city. So they sold very slowly. As a sales incentive, Hartwood was hired by the developer to design four bungalows that would be lovely and inexpensive. So they did build some spec houses in this subdivision, and they wanted to cater to young families. And Hartwood, in a 1922 article, after being hired to do this, said he thought that they should call the subdivision Honeymoon Village. Diamond Head Terrace was typically developed by the owners and their architects, which is why you see so much variety of architectural styles in this neighborhood. And in the 1926 article about the subdivision, there were so many articles you would not believe. They were promoting this thing like crazy. But in the 1926 article in the newspaper, they said the builders seem to have gone out of their way to design homes with personality in this neighborhood, and this is one of them. And a testament to the architectural excellence in this neighborhood is that at least 22 homes in the Diamond Head Terrace neighborhood are already listed on the National Register. And of those 22 homes, they represent at least 12 distinct architectural styles. This house has undergone relatively few changes. I mean, really the only change is the enclosing of that second story deck. And retains its seven aspects of integrity. And it's being nominated at the local level under Criterion C for its architectural significance and the work of the master, Hartwood. The Monterey style was very popular in Hawaii during this time, but Hartwood was known for his significant contribution to the pursuit of an appropriate Hawaiian style architecture. So in doing some of my research, I think that it's not really coincidence, it's him learning from all the different things that are going on and also looking back, because if you look at some of the mission houses and especially the Baldwin House in Lahaina, very, very similar. I mean, the Baldwin House is basically a Monterey style house, even though it predates the Monterey style. So I think he was looking both behind and at what was current. And he built two other Monterey style houses after this that I believe are no longer around. Let's see, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, the owners, yeah. Let me talk about the owners for a second. Oh, I left them out of my synopsis. The first owner actually did commission the house. Her name was Steinhauser, Marion Steinhauser. And so maybe you might want me to change the name of this nomination.
I personally think that would be a very
and that
good
would be
idea.
Fine. That would be fine. I'd be happy to do that.
Can you spell it for me?
Steinhauser? Let me make sure I spell it right.
S-T-E-I-N-H-A-U-S-E-R. And I think it has an S. I don't know if it has an S or not.
Where?
I guess the owners were plural Steinhausers.
Steinhausers? Hold on, let me pull it up.
Because I took this from one of your documents I found, the name, maybe the tax records or something. I found the Steinhausers name somewhere.
Because there are two of them, or their name is Steinhausers?
Yeah, that's what I can't tell. But so you had it somewhere. Marion
and Samuel Steinhauser, I don't have
okay,
an
so
S.
Okay, so no S, okay.
Yeah. And it stayed in their hands for a number of years. They passed it among family members. So I think you're right. I think it's appropriate to call it the Steinhauser residence. Right now, and for since 1971, the house has been owned by the Twig Smith family, and they own actually a number of properties in the neighborhood. And very responsible owners. They're actually working on the restoration of another house in the neighborhood. They're doing a very good job.
Thanks, Angie. So are you Pal?
I am.
Okay. So maybe we could thank you, Lono, for being my light monitor. It's wonderful. Thank you.
I didn't know they were going to make you work, did you?
Yeah. Does anybody else from the audience want to say anything, or should we move on to questions from the board? No? Okay. Board members like to ask Angie any questions, comments? No? No? Okay. How about a motion on the floor then? Whose turn?
I could do it.
Paul Morgan.
All right. I move that we nominate the Steinhauser residence under, criteria
C.
Thanks. To the State Historic Register with recommendation to the National Register.
Second?
Second.
80 seconds.
Wait, don't we have to state the original stated name of the property, then amend it as the Steinhauser House?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that, but if, I don't know. I don't think so. I think we're okay just to make it, to amend it in our own words. Or,
awesome.
I don't know.
Because we did that for the other motion.
Oh, you included Gray in the name of the other motion. So if the motion states it has Steinhauser residence, then that's the original motion.
Yeah. Last time I think they just said Gray.
The amendment was not the name of the residence, but it was to add photos.
But didn't we say to amend with that name?
Well, the motion is doesn't need to be amended because it has what we want in it. Like it's,
as part of our motion, we're
just
renaming it.
Naming it right in the motion.
So don't we have to state that in the motion, renaming it?
No, because it never got named. I mean, it was just presented. You know, like it's not like it officially was named that.
It didn't have a name.
Anyway, Ross.
Just a point I'd like to make. If you're going to use the name of the owner, which is a great idea, be sure to include the first name, like John and Joan McCollum or something like that.
Sure.
The reason is that in the local scheme of things, several different times you've got the same family members or family, and it's really difficult to tell which nomination you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
To give a real example of this, there's a nomination in the thing, it's a small hayout.
Yeah, okay.
And, well, there's a tourist group residence, too.
So
full name.
If we could amend the nomination to the actual address.
The name of the
couple, which I don't happen to have in front of me right now, but should we look that up?
Marion.
Yeah.
Sam.
Do you want me to
just one person,
it,
or was it?
Mary was the first owner, and then if there was a couple that was the second owner, so I think it probably should be Mary. Do you want me to double check?
Yeah, because it was just a single person then. Okay.
Okay.
That's a good point. Thank you, everybody, for helping. We need help. Okay. So.
Redo it?
Redo?
Okay.
Okay, Marion?
I move that we nominate the Marion Steinhauser residence under criteria C to the State Historic Register with recommendation to the National Register.
I had another little piece of
legal
history.
Let's just get the motion and let's get a second.
It affects that.
Oh, it applies to this motion?
Yes.
Okay.
What I have found, and Don, you've probably found this, have found this out too, a lot of the houses are in the wife's name only, even though it's a couple. So when this house was first commissioned, it was under the wife's name. And then about 5 years later, it switched to the wife and the husband. So I don't know what you want to do about that. Do you have a review over that?
Maybe do the wife and the husband then.
Because they, what I have surmised, and I did a little bit of legal research, is that when you had money in the family, they would put the house in the wife's name for tax reasons.
So on amend again, let's try again.
So what's his name?
His name is Samuel.
Samuel, okay. Okay, try again?
Yes, sorry.
I move that we nominate the Samuel and Marion Steinhauser residents under criteria C to the State Historic Register with recommendation to the National Register.
Second, okay. Good with that, okay. That's great. So anybody else want to comment? Any comments? You all good? Good. DeKuyper? Okay. Everybody good with everything? Want to just go ahead and call the question? All in favor of listing as Paul's motion stated, please raise your hands. Unanimous, it passes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Which just brings us to the Gray residence. Perhaps we should say Richard and Maris on the Gray residence, which was the one before.
Well, I got to go back and get the Strode residence
too. Oh. Well, at least it says Strode and not just Slotikai or something. I mean, at least you got the last name. But I mean, it is Richard and Maris Gray, so.
And I couldn't figure out why women owned all of these houses I was looking at.
So what was the tax reason?
It was for tax reasons.
What was the tax reason?
I think it's liability.
Maybe liability.
Because if a spouse is a physician, a lot of times her
husband gets sued.
That husband gets sued because he's in a...
He can't get the house.
Yeah, he's a physician, you know, something goes wrong with the surgery. They, they don't want to be sued.
It had something to do with them having money.
Yeah.
Which is why I know I belong to tax.
Physicians and architects, lots of liability. So next up on the agenda, here we go, must be the Dearborn, because it looks like Dawn.
Madam Chair, yes. I must recuse myself on this,
okay,
on this
so,
nomination.
Pat Griffin is going to recuse herself on this nomination. So be it. Okay.
Okay, this is the Dearborn Chemical Company building on Ward, which everybody but in Kaika saw yesterday. Dearborn is based out of Chicago, and the primary product was a chemical that reduced sediment in boilers. So it was very popular with locomotive companies, so I'm sure ORML was using it. It was also very much in demand for the sugar plantations with all their boilers. So the company was formed in 1897 in Chicago. They came to Hawaii in 1898. And as you can see from this advertisement, they're on every continent except for Antarctica by the 1920s. The property is being nominated for criteria A at the local level for the development of light industrial in Kaka'ako, and also level C, criteria C at the local level for architecture. This is an 1888 map by Wall of Honolulu. This area here is Kevalo, Kaka'ako, which was all underwater. You can see here in the evening. Somewhere, I think there's a word swamp somewhere.
Are these maps in your nomination?
No.
Oh, can we get copies of these?
Yeah.
Should be in the nomination.
This is another map. This is from 1898. You can see again that most of the area is all still designated as underwater. In 1897, Waring puts in the Covello subdivision, which is right here. The property we're going to be looking at today is, here's Ward, here's Kauai Hau, Waimano. So the property is right here in that subdivision. At the end of the street, there's a big fish pond. And here's just another view of that subdivision later with all the lots and the subdivision. And here's another one. Again, you can see even here, they're labeling everything that's not in the subdivision. Here's rice ponds, fish ponds. Coral Hollow is a fish pond.
Is that a bicycle track?
Yes, it is. It didn't last long. It was 2 years. But it was, and it's, you can find it on some old archives photos, photos taken from Punch Bowl.
There was the oblong shape.
Oh, it's like a
cyclone here.
Oh, okay.
In 1913, the Department of Health started to condemn properties, saying that it was a nuisance and a health hazard. The property owner said, no, this isn't fair. We don't have the wherewithal to fill our property. So what the territory did was they went to fill the property and then charged the landowners for the cost of the fill. And they were taken to court, and in 1914, the territory lost. But here's Ala Moana. They got all the way up to Queen Street, and just a little bit past Queen Street. Ward Avenue was the cutoff, so the property where our property is was not filled by that time. Mm-hmm. As late as 1923, this is a fire map from that year. Property is up here, near Kauai Hollow, and Waimano's on the other side. The property was still vacant in 23. But you can see Kaka'ako in this area is almost exclusively small wood residences. All the yellow is all frame buildings. The only concrete building that was around or any note is up here where WCIT is now, the old dryer ice cold storage building. And there's one building down here on Queen Street off Cook. Other than that, everything is pretty much all wood. Even as late as 1939, you can see Dearborn Chemical Company building is in. It's built in 28, but everything else in the area is still predominantly residential, although you're starting to get some industrial, commercial. Here's another, this CQD Hops building was of concrete, and there was one or two others that right now, Dearborn's the only one that's left from that period in the area, close by. And then after World War II, the whole area went late industrial. This snaps from 68. And you can see our building again, and actually the wood addition that was put in the front is on the building in this picture. And you can see how small that was. But again, so we're nominating because of its associations with the early development of light industrial, which progressed throughout the rest of the...
What year is this, Don?
Excuse me?
What year is this?
I think it's 68.
Thanks.
Don, why aren't any of these maps in our nomination?
I just
they're fantastic,
it.
But they're not
it's
in our nomination.
In
first time we've seen them.
Yeah, here's the building, Dearborn Chemical, 1928. As you saw yesterday, the building has been pretty well gutted. The windows, here's the one original window I did see. It's a steel frame window with the pivot.
Hopper?
Huh?
Hopper or
no,
awning?
Pivot.
Pivot. Awning.
Oh, no, both ways. Pivot.
Oh, I was
supposed
in
the
to
middle.
Both at once. Either way.
Yeah, hopper is from the bottom, awning from the top.
Right, this is in the middle.
Pivot's in the middle.
Got you.
They found the original company, and they're replicating all of them and putting it in. Here's a picture of what it looked like before. This 1967 addition, they stripped that all off, obviously, you can see that. And then behind the addition, the previous owner had already taken out all the windows on this side. So they'll be putting all those back. And you can see the standing seam roof that was on. And so essentially they're redoing. Here's the drawings. And you can see, here's the Ward Avenue. They'll be putting back all the windows of one bay. They'll be putting an entry into the one bay and the rest of the windows. Same thing on the side. You probably didn't see yesterday, but there is steel sliding doors on the Malka side. They'll be replicating them also on the Mackay side as well. So, architect is actually an engineer for the building was E.W. Ellis. E.W. Ellis came here around 1904. He worked at a Pahala plantation on the Big Island. Then around 1909, he came to Honolulu, worked for the lighthouse people first, and then he went to Pearl Harbor. And then for around 5 years, between 1926 and 31, he was on his own.
Was he an architect? Was he an architect or an engineer?
Engineer.
Okay.
Then once the Depression hit, he went back to Pearl Harbor. When World War II came, he left the islands. This is the only other building I know of that's still standing. This is the Sioux building down in Chinatown at Mauna Kea and Hotel. So I just thought you'd like to see that. That's it. The property, the owners very much wanting to preserve it. It's Patagonia. They're going to be moving here, making it their main store and headquarters in Hawaii. And
are you finished with your slides so we can turn the lights back on?
Sure,
we're just seeing this dim outline anyway.
Oh, really?
You're very heavily backlit, so
okay.
Thank you.
And
there we go.
They've already, I just found out, Historic Hawaii now has easement on the preservation easement been given to Historic Hawaii on the property. They're going ahead with their Tax Act application. The part one of the Tax Act application, which certifies that it meets the criteria for registration, has already been approved by the as says part two. I know some people might be thinking, oh, we registered a building before that was gutted. And in Waikiki, I think this is a much different animal. The fact that this already has its building permit, there's 48 pages of plans, which said this is what we're doing, which I just showed you the one elevation plan, and they're committed to the Tax Act as well, which has already been approved and just waiting to finish the job. So that's it. If there's any questions.
So Don, I have a question. Just why is you have such a dynamic presentation, and none of it is in this your nomination?
You're saying my writing's not dynamic?
No, it's not. It's not the writing. It's the maps and the. It's like none of it's in here. So it's
all in there if you read.
No. I mean, I'm a really graphic person, so to me, the maps are really informative in terms of your presentation, but they're not in here.
I can provide 1,000 words.
Yes, Katie.
Oh, I was just going to say, this project is like a very unusual part or time during the project to nominate it, because we're supposed to look at a building the way it is right now, what it is today, not what it's going to be, what someone says it's going to be. I mean, I have no doubt that the owner's going to go through with all this, but we're looking at it now, and it's right now, it's this gutted concrete shell with trusses in it. So it's an interesting time in this to look at that building and analyze it. Does that structure, what we saw yesterday, does that meet the criteria for being on the National Register?
The Park Service thought it did. And it's, you know, you're in a position, Katie.
Yeah.
They're going to restore it.
Yeah.
You put the sponsor up on. Okay. They're going to restore it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we're not really supposed to look at it that way, what's going to happen. I mean, we had the house in Maui that we looked at recently where they were doing renovation work, and they showed us pictures like during the renovation, and we don't have any. I mean, eventually it's going to be what it's going to be, and then that's what's going to be on the register. And I'm not saying that this isn't eligible, it's just sort of a interesting timeline or project that, that we're looking at it.
To come to somewhat to the defense of Don on this, presumably the Park Service saw the pictures of the building pre-work.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to add too.
Yes, Ben.
I also thought that the building had a lot of integrity. Anything that's standing from 1928 is pretty historical to me. And I think that I like the idea about them restoring the building, as you pointed out. And I do agree with my colleagues that the maps further enhance the opportunity of this listing.
Okay. Anybody else have comments?
What would be the drawback to deferring this until the renovation's complete, just so we can see what's done?
Oh, I'm sorry, Al, I didn't see your...
For them to get the tax credit, the building must be listed before they can, at the time the project is complete. So if you wait till the project is complete, they will not qualify for the tax credit.
Could they have come before they started the...
No, no, no. They've started the process, but in order for them to qualify for the credit, by the time the building is completed, the rehabilitation is completed, the building must be listed. So there is a possibility to go through this sort of not in lockstep, but if the building is not listed by the time that they complete the renovation, they will not get the tax credit.
But this, the renovation is going to be going for a while longer.
I understand.
Like they got a ways to go. They got a ways to go, yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry, Bill Chapman.
I was going to say, I understand what Katie's saying, but you know, I spent 2 years of my life doing these certifications, and I usually look at what's there at the beginning, and then you certify the part one, and then you see the plans for part two, and you certify part two, and then you get a final okay.
But this, we're looking at it.
We just happen to be dropping in the middle.
Yeah.
I do remember some of my colleagues who never actually worked on buildings, actually seeing the picture of the building under work and then going, oh my God, what happened? And then it comes back.
So your experience in the past, you feel comfortable that this, the process is going to be carried through?
And I do. Okay. Great. I feel comfortable with that. And I think you'd have to look at what are the defining features of the building, which would be the concrete walls, the openings, the roof shape.
Roof trusses.
And trusses.
Okay, so anybody else want to say? Yeah, Kaika.
No, just for the document purposes, it says Fung Associates. Are you?
Yeah, I'm representing.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
They're also handling the tax credit.
Okay.
I didn't say Universal Building.
Yeah, that came after the addition in the 60s.
Okay.
So for me, I think I'm going to, my position here is to get your presentation reflecting what's in the nomination, and then I don't think they're going to be finished by the next board meeting. So I'm wondering if we could, personally, if we could defer this. Our next board meeting is in May. We could see a little bit further where the project's going. And it would still qualify for getting on the register. And then we could get the nomination itself has the original photos in it that are clearly no longer there, including the addition that was added. I mean, this nomination needs to reflect, I believe, where we're going, I mean, what we're putting on the register, not what was there prior to the process starting, which is what's reflected in this.
Well, that was, the nomination was that way. The building was like that when the nomination was submitted. But it takes time to run through before you get to the board.
Yeah, but I think it can be like updated then. So, because the photos, if they're going to go into the archive or whatever it's going to be, it becomes a document. It shows that whole addition. I mean, it's all gone now.
They could be labeled as photo, you know, taken as a touch and take.
I'll take all the photos out, and I'll just put in a photo of the shell.
I think if you just label that this photo was taken on a certain date, because that does speak to the building's history, and you're describing the building's history.
That's not really part of the history, but it's not part of the significant history, because it's after 67.
But I would just personally like to, with all those mayops and all that back, get it into the nomination. That's how I feel personally.
Part of the grant process, is this documented? I mean, with the National Park Service, is there going to be documentation that they fulfilled these requirements in photographs or anything like that? Is that part of the, I'm unaware of the process, right?
So you're talking about for the tax credit?
Tax credit.
So for the tax credit, there's a sort of a preliminary review by the SHBO and by the Park Service saying, yeah, we look like, you know, for buildings that aren't listed, it looks like it's eligible to us. So that's the initial certification. Then there's, you know, once that happens, they do a more detailed documentation of the rehabilitation, and that gets approved. And then when they complete the whole thing, there's a final approval, both by the SHBO and the Park Service, and, oh yeah, the IRS.
They don't tend to submit work in progress pictures.
Okay.
You usually see the existing state at the time, that's the part one. And then you make the decision then, and then you see the proposal, which is the part two, then you have the completed project, which is the final certification.
You know, in essence, that third review is to say, yes, this is what in part two they said they were going to do, and part three is, yeah, they did it.
Right. So that's there's a paper trail of right. them completing what they said they're going to do. That's what I was going to ask. So yeah.
Rarely do they actually show it at this point. You don't usually see pictures of it.
Sure, yeah. It's more the end point I'm looking for. Yeah.
Anybody else want to say anything? I think we can look perhaps for a motion from the board to
well,
put
just,
it on.
I just have the first initial, I agree with Katie and, you know, you that something, you know, what if Patagonia decided to change their thing? But since you mentioned there is that safeguard at the end, right, that, like, we're not the last word. They have to approve it. If, yeah. So I feel more comfortable personally in approving it.
I mean, I think especially with that owner, I don't question that they're going to go forward with their restoration. Right. It's just was such a...
Yeah.
Usual time to be presented with is this right here, is this eligible?
And actually, I prefer not to amend the nomination as far as the description goes, because otherwise, if I'm just describing what it is today, most of that description is going to disappear and be lost. And I think it's better to have it in the record. This is what it was before the restoration work started, rehab work started. So that way, I think it's more useful as a document.
Would you be willing to put in some of the Sanborn maps and things?
Yes, I'm willing to submit that. That's no problem.
Yes.
Do you want me to find out more about the preservation easement? Because the easement is actually in place, and I don't know enough to speak to it, but mm-hmm. if the easement is dictating that X, Y, and Z need to happen under this legal contract, then that is another layer of this work will be done because this is, I mean, the reason why there's a preservation easement is because in perpetuity this property is going to be preserved.
Okay.
So I think that's an important layer. Yeah. I mean, I can try to have Kirsten weigh in on this now if that would be helpful or if you want to.
Well, I mean, I guess my issue is, and I'm not trying to, you know, influence anybody else's vote here, but if we were to put this on the agenda for the May meeting, we would have more of these easement things. We would have the amending the documents to have all these maps and to sort of deal with all of the issues that maybe I'm feeling and possibly Katie and who knows, possibly Paul Morgan. Anyway, but that we could have a chance to get this a little bit up to speed more. It's a very thin document in terms of, the written part's fine, but the back part, which is, you know, is very thin.
Awesome.
So, yes.
I'd just like to make a point. Most time preservation easements are used to deal with density. The classic example being New York with the Central Station. Preservation easements aren't so much maintaining, you know, specific architectural details. I just want to make that point. I know what you want to preserve the building, and everybody does. And I think most people are a little uncomfortable because they're used to doing things in sequence and not together at the same time. But I just want to make sure that people understand that preservation easement basically applies to density. What you want to do is keep that one and one and a half story building there rather than have a high rise on the property.
Ross, I think you can. I think details can be specified in an easement.
Yeah, I think can be too. But most of the time, that's the way it's written up.
Yeah, but I mean, cities that have really active easements programs like Savannah, they actually dedicate the appearance of the facade.
Yes,
yes, Angie.
I just wanted to add that I've done a couple of tax credit projects, and NPS and their tax credit people are very exacting. They are very stringent about the rules and following the Secretary of Interior guidelines and doing exactly what you said you were going to do at the beginning of the project. And the owner, it is in their best interest if they want this tax credit to do exactly what they have promised, or else they won't get it. So I don't think it's that big of a risk to nominate the project, because as long as they go, I mean, they could always drop out and nothing happens, but I don't know what that means. But in order to get the tax credit to make the project viable, they have to follow NPS, and they are very, very stringent in my experience.
And who's enforcing that? I mean, is that?
Well, it's the receiving of the tax credit that's basically enforcing it. It's money. You know, so if the owner decides they don't want to do this part of the project or whatever, they can potentially not get certified for the part two or part three or whatever and lose the tax credit, and they don't want to do that. And if the project does fall apart, you as a board always have the option to rescind the nomination, you know, to take it off of the register.
We don't.
I don't think so. No.
The SHPD does, but we don't.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that.
It has to go before you, right?
No.
No, not renewables.
I'm just curious how they got their permits, the 6E process.
It's not on the register. It doesn't have to go through 6E.
I thought that was only for
that's only houses.
Houses.
Oh, it's only houses?
Yeah. No, it's only private residences.
Yeah, it should be us to initiate it, but I think you have to vote.
Nope. Has it been reviewed by the state office?
I'd have to check. I mean, so to answer Matt's question, if they sent us a permit, we would have reviewed.
Right.
And
they obviously have their permits already. Just a question whether
you. I'm guessing that we reviewed it, but I right off the top of my head, I can't say.
I mean, with all due respect to other people's objections, it seems like it might be extra burden to have to send back a person to go through it all again.
Yeah, I think we've done our due diligence. I feel comfortable. My initial concerns have been alleviated, so it seems like the process is going forward, so I feel fine with it.
Okay, so do we want to take someone like to make a motion?
This is my turn, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Doug.
A and C?
Yes, for Steve and
okay. So I'd like to propose that we list the Dearborn Chemical Company warehouse on the Hawaii Historic Places, and that it be recommended for nomination to the National Register under criteria A and C.
Okay.
Can I ask that we amend that to make it subject to inclusion of the maps so that we have more documentation of its significance?
We call that a friendly
amendment.
Amendment.
Uh-huh. Friendly amendment. So, second on that?
I second.
Bill Sousa seconds. Okay, any additional comments? Okay, well, let's go ahead and take a vote then. All in favor of Bill's motion, please raise your hands.
Seven.
Seven, yes.
No.
No.
Thank you.
Dr. Downer, are we going to take a break at all, or do you know anything about?
Sharon's getting more.
Do you know when that, I'm just trying to time it so.
She thought she'd be right back, but obviously it's taking longer.
Okay. Does anybody want to just take a 5-minute break?
Stretch or something?
Or close your front of the lady's room?
Staten Island, but the Nancy said that didn't meet state sunshine law. I don't know why it would come before us. Revised nomination. I think that's what it is. Yeah. Revised nomination.
So I can't get off.
But I fought hard to get it on the National Register.
I don't mind that.
I know.
Nancy remembers
it. I know, because I can definitely
it was on the
spectrum.
That was Luke Dan Kennedy. At the University of Boston.
Still. I just moved across so many hours.
The dog tower. I guess it's
wow.
So when she's saying, well, it may have still
been anyway. What am I big life to
the whole bit of a catastrophe.
A rainy day project.
But that never happened.
He's with his
hair to hear it again.
No. Especially the older it goes back.
Yeah, whatever. Accused myself.
It's going to be a long before they
come. Not East West Center. That doesn't belong. Oh, yeah. Kensley Kennedy does. Tell you the truth, Moore Hall. Remember where I used to work?
Yeah.
That's called the East West Center Classroom Building.
Really?
Yeah, where they go with the same funding. But I forget the name of the architect. I have to think they should do the whole campus.
So now you're going to get
the East West Center. I think it'll look better.
Yeah.
Except, yeah. I hate that sound. Like I said, some of my colleagues have never actually worked on site. Sometimes they see a picture of it under work and they go, oh my God, what was that going on? If they saw the before and after, they were happy.
Like you said, as you know, the requirements are there exactly. You have to do it. Secretary of Standards and whatever they tell you to do in addition. So as long as they don't,
I always told my colleagues that's what a lot of projects look like in the middle.
Well, NPS wants pictures all the way through.
I know, you keep them, yeah.
So,
The people that failed were the people that didn't take pictures ahead of them. They come in after, and they want to get this.
I asked about this before, he said, they don't. So you have to register properly.
This is the new.
Do something.
The new norm, huh?
So Sean mentioned something with our,
I don't know anything else.
We're not allowed to do bedrooms anymore.
Why?
They've got some kind of rules that can only do, like group servants. You can't do individual dish, so you can't do bedrooms. They'd have to do like whole trays of things.
What they should do then is have some sort of like big vat of mug. Give us all nose bags.
You thought so too?
You're just kind of being.
Mostly it doesn't matter. When we were looking at some of those apartments.
We could have stew or something, that'd be kind of cool.
I know there's another.
That's traditional, right?
Building in Waikiki that was like registered.
You could ask for more.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out who the famous guy that Alan's dad wrote about. I just remember. I bought the book. His dad wrote a book about a Victorian actor who was like one of Dickens' friends. But I can't quite remember.
Like Candy?
Who's that? Alan's dad was a professor of English at Princeton.
What time is it? It's 12:20. Yeah.
Alan obviously went more of the cowboy route. Became a Western type archaeologist, a lot of archaeologists.
I think she really wanted to. But she wasn't going to open the bag. She kept coming.
I'll teach you to be nice.
You gotta make your needs known.
Take one before you pass it up.
I knew you'd go over there and eat now.
Will this be an eating break for you? It's a long break.
It would be short.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually good.
Speaker, I think.
It's a speaker.
I'm recording.
Oh my God. We're in trouble.
All our side, comic clerk.
That one don't tell me.
I guess we can reconvene and people tell me that.
I'm suggesting pizza. I'm suggesting a working lunch.
Sure.
You want a second?
I need to get out
of here. Yeah. Advice. I don't know what to say.
One of the many things I don't know.
Okay, so it's been suggested we have a working lunch, so everybody grab pizza,
Good
and
idea.
Let's greet the bees.
Yeah.
So that's what you're going to get back, additional.
No, I don't care. But Jared, do you think some of the interior plans or... Not your board, I mean, staying at home.
Sorry, I moved out.
No, the outdoor plans whatsoever. I just talked about those two sections and that elevation, huh?
And the elevation, one of the elevations is in perhaps drawing through the 70s. The other elevation is in the 1900s. Because it's got that 7 floor on it.
It'd be nice if it got some of that.
Oh, I know. I looked and looked.
I'm sure you tried.
Yeah, that's
funny.
In my research, I saw that Dickie's office had a fire.
That's additional to what? No. Well,
that's what we promised. That's what we did for the last meeting.
So many plans are lost.
I know, it's just
breaks my heart. I do the same thing. Companies would just say, oh, we're going to clean out our office.
Oh,
I hear those stories.
Oh, I know.
People
do that. But luckily, hopefully now that what happens is everything goes down.
Yeah.
The army had all their original joints.
Well,
I can't believe it's the building department. To me, that was the richest furniture possibly existed.
They worked on base, and they had to plug all the black files that were being tossed out. And we only kind of had a free thing on because they were, whatever that word is, they were not very used to be broken down.
The association.
Yes.
The association.
So they were.
Fun to be back with you, Bill.
And we opened them up.
Fun to be back on the board.
I think I'm going to get ready to cycle off with my time will be off. I got to find out when.
Well, you know, when I was up, I did a couple consulting jobs, and I really didn't enjoy it that much.
It's a lot of work.
I like doing the Strode house. That one was fun. Yeah, the one over there and the Lonnie guy,
That one was fun to do.
I love that newspapers.com. You can find so much stuff you never used to be able to get.
I signed up for it, but I haven't used it yet.
Well, I love that other one. What's that? Chronicling America. It gets you up to 1927.
Oh, yeah.
Newspaper.com comes right up to the present. Newspaper.com will bring you right up to the press.
Oh, yeah. But does it have the back stuff there? The older stuff?
I prefer it.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I usually did the Chronicling part, but I don't get to it so far.
Oh, by the way, my sister and I were going to see she went into a Frolic and
actually, the last meeting we had Bento.
I don't know, all the Simon, too, is she?
going to be carpet out.
And they have the whole listing, so I call it in.
I was telling you, you guys should get here.
I'm worried about staying here.
You can listen to number one.
Like I said, it was slammed.
I think it's working.
I was trying to go out.
So pretty, I want to get it all over my documents.
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Are they going to try?
Something they manage. Non posso mangiare le pizze.
I mean, they don't get the real estate break, do they? They get half a real estate break on it? Wasn't that a 50% commercial?
Really?